In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's all go to
Let's
the
talk
lobby.
Movies. Alan Let's Adams joins us here lobby. In studio. This afternoon, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. We were just comparing notes on how stupidly cold it was over the weekend and how our respective dogs wanted no part of that.
Yeah, no, it was pretty ridiculous. We're very, like, we count our blessings on the regular with Stella, and one of the big ones is, she's got to be like 75% bladder. Like the capacity she has is just like it's one of those things where it's like oh no is it terrible outside okay we'll wait.
Oh yeah, Ginger, there are nights when Ginger will pack it in early. She'll have dinner and go nighty night at about 7 o'clock, and next morning, Ginger, it's been 12 hours. Yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna wait around till it warms up, maybe 9. I'll go out. It's crazy.
It's just one of those things where it's You're just thankful. You're grateful not everyone has that in their lives.
No, not at all.
So it's really nice. It's funny you were talking about seeing the show last night. I actually had intended to maybe go, and then just it sort of escaped my mind, and so. But it sounds like it was a great time. By all accounts, there were a lot of people that I know who were at the show, which is great. I will say it's funny. I wouldn't consider myself a connoisseur, but I enjoy a good stand-up special.
Oh yeah.
I've seen a lot in my day, and I have to confess, I have rarely laughed harder, like to the point of tears, the first time I heard The Machine.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It was just one of those things where it's such a beautifully crafted bit of stand-up, and it's just, you know, it's just indicative of you said, like, he's a great performer, and so when you add that sort of performance talent with quality material, like, of course everyone's gonna have a good time.
Yeah, and he's so good at personalizing things too. You know, he had some things that were clearly designed for the Bangor crowd that seemed to come off the top of his head, and he got seemingly distracted a few times and went off on tangents, but always found his way back where he was going. But man, the crowd ate it up.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, I mean, it's just one more reminder of just how beneficial the change from the old barn to the Cross Center has been for the community, not just for the obvious that one week a year for the basketball tournament, that's all great, but now it's like now there's a like an honest to goodness like performance venue in town, and it's and this is indicative of the sorts of things that we get to enjoy now that it's here.
Absolutely, that was a lot of fun. Now I mentioned we mentioned Stella. How are your guest cats? How are they doing?
Oh, they're doing okay. They're little adorable agents of chaos.
Three of them?
It's four of them.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Two boys, two girls. I won't go into the details. It's all very sad. But they are staying with us because they can't be properly adopted for health reasons. And so we volunteered to just give them a good time. And it seems to be working. It's one of those things where, and like, perfect example, you know, Saturday, it's, 10 below or whatever. I go up, we've dedicated a room to them. I go up to hang out with them. I just, stretch out, and within 2 minutes, I've got four kittens like perched on various parts of me. And, I gotta say, there's something very, very soothing about just being covered in purring cats.
Oh yes.
Despite the fact, it should be noted, I am allergic to cats.
Not
a little.
Wow.
Like I am actually pretty allergic.
You're mainlining Claritin? Is that how it works?
You just suck it up because they're just that cute.
Wow.
But it's one of those things where they can kind of tell. Every once in a while, one will, like, crawl up right up into my face, like, paw my glasses out of the way and try to lick my eyeball or something like that. And it's like, come on, guys. Yeah. Like, this is, like, I'm barely holding it together as it is. We don't need to exacerbate things any more than we already have.
Well, glad to hear it's going so well. Let's talk a little movies. What have you seen of late?
You know, I just got the one this week.
Huh?
But it's one that that I think we'll enjoy talking about.
Okay.
Well, Rich, I went and saw 80 for Brady.
Aren't you a little young?
Oh, my God. I got to say, man, it is... first of all... up until like maybe a month ago, you couldn't convince me with 100% certainty that this wasn't like a dream I had.
Oh yeah,
Or like a one off gag from like 30 Rock.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, is this real? Like, yeah. Is this a real thing, or did I just have like a fever dream? as it turns out, it is real, and I'm not gonna say it's spectacular. But it's a hell of a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, there is some talent involved.
Well, and that's the thing. And that's the primary thing, is the fact that you have this tremendous cast that is only there because, frankly, there probably aren't a lot of opportunities for, performers of a certain age. When you get a chance to basically team up four of the, they're all like, I don't know where you put them on the list of, best actors of their generations, but they're all on the list. Mm-hmm. You've got Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Sally Field, Rita Moreno, just an absolute dynamite cast, which is good because it is not a good script. it is thinly plotted at best. There are a lot of jokes in this movie that only work because you have like Lily Tomlin delivering them or Sally Field, you know, yeah. It's like, you know, anyone else who tries to do this stuff, it's just going to fall flat. But, anyway, so here's the gist. It's 2017. We're in the playoffs. We have this group of four friends who have been getting together for years to watch the Patriots play, specifically Tom Brady. Like they have a very deep and abiding affection for Tom Brady that I'm not gonna like. There, it gets explained in the movie. I'm not gonna spoil it. Like, but so you've got Lou, who is ostensibly our main character. That's Lily Tomlin. She's been hosting her friends at her house to watch the Patriots game for all these years. And her buddies, you've got Trish, that's Jane Fonda. She's the flirtatious relationship hopper one, who also apparently writes a fairly steamy fan fiction about Rob Gronkowski. you've got Betty, who's Sally Field. She's a retired math professor who has spent most of the last, however long, essentially propping up her husband's academic career. His name's Mark, played by the, he's underused, but played by the wonderful Bob Balaban.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, you've got Maura, Rita Moreno. Her husband of over 50 years has recently passed, so she's a little adrift. And it's just this tight crew of ladies who just get together and watch the Patriots and talk about what a handsome, nice boy that Tom Brady is. Well, we get the plot twist in that we have this knockoff like Pats fan like basic cable show. I forget what it's called. It doesn't matter. I forget what the guys' names are called. Again, doesn't matter. But it's you've got Alex Moffat and Rob Corddry as the Sully from Boston types.
Yep.
But they're doing a giveaway for Super Bowl tickets. Should the Pats make it? And again, this is January of 2017, leading up to Super Bowl 51, people might remember.
Yes.
The Atlanta Falcons were there.
I vaguely remember that somebody got ahead, but it didn't.
Some stuff went down.
Yeah.
Our heroes win the tickets and head off to Houston, where, as you might guess, a lot of NFL and NFL adjacent hijinks ensue. They spend some time at the NFL fan experience, and basically you get Trish finds out that her Her Gronk erotica has actually a much wider audience than she ever would have expected. Betty winds up in a spicy hot wings eating contest hosted by Guy Fieri.
Wow.
Mora stumbles into a high-stakes gambling operation featuring just a wealth of celebrity cameos. I should mention this. Lily Tomlin, talks to Tom Brady.
Oh.
Whenever he's there's any representation of him, whether it's on a video screen or a bobblehead, he inevitably begins talking directly to her, and she talks back with all the silliness that entails. Of course, it's not as easy as all that. Some obstacles, both interpersonal and wider ranging, spring up. Again, I'm not going to go into spoilers because there's not really that much plot to this movie, so I don't want to take away the few things that you might get out of it. The Patriots go down 28-3 to the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and I don't really remember what happens after that. I assume they lost. That's a lot of points to be down.
Yeah.
Going towards the end of the game, but obviously this movie is just a big old chunk of NFL propaganda. That's what it is. Specific to Tom Brady, but really celebrating the NFL in general. I saw a comparison made and it's unfair because this movie is far superior to that one. But do you remember the Netflix movie where Kevin James played Sean Payton from last year?
Yes.
The sentiment feels similar. Mm. This is a far superior movie to that. Okay. I mean, that's damning with faint praise, but now this is one of those movies where it claims to be inspired by a true story, but inspired is doing a lot of heavy lifting with that. Apparently there was a group of four older women who loved Tom Brady and watched the Patriots, but that's basically it. They watched the game from home. They didn't go to the Super Bowl or anything like that. So inspired by, basically it's just like acknowledging that that old people exist, I guess. I don't know what the inspiration is necessarily, in terms of execution, it's fine. The director does a pretty good job of sort of interweaving archival footage. There's mm-hmm. there's a fair amount of game action incorporated into the movie, which makes sense because otherwise it would only be about an hour long. And they also spend a surprising amount of effort on making it clear that we're in 2017. Which seems like a weird thing to invest a lot of effort in, but
you think that's just because of the game itself and what a remarkable game it was that makes it a better story?
I guess it's one of those things where they it's in the locker room and you see some of the plaques and it's like Barkevious Mingo. Oh right, he was on the 2017 Patriots.
Wow.
And I didn't pick this up, but I did see someone note somewhere that at one point that we see a few brief frames from an episode of The Bachelor being watched in a rest home. It is from an episode that aired around the time. Weird little things that where it's like, okay, so you invest all this time in this minutia and you can't
write. You could have been writing a script.
Yeah, you could write better jokes or a narrative that's more than just a series of vignettes that are just sort of vaguely stitched together. I think that's the thing that I had the biggest problem with. The individual pieces weren't that bad, but the fact that they didn't really have any connective tissue beyond, the central premise of, these ladies basically show up in a place and then kind of go off in their own directions. And we have four different things sort of happening and they come back together. There's not really a lot of rhyme or reason to it. But some things that are worth noting. I could go on and on about the performances by our four leads. They're phenomenal talents. A quick breakdown for folks, a little bit of a shorthand. It's not it's not one to one, but it's a pretty pretty accurate, I think. So Lily Tomlin, that's Dorothy. Trish, Jane Fonda, that's Blanche. Betty, Sally Field, that's Rose. And Maura, Rita Moreno, obviously Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
Like that gets you like 90% of the way there.
Okay.
I think
makes
in terms of understanding the vibe. So their performances are great. Some solid supporting performances. I mentioned Moffat and Cordry; they're fine. Harry Hamlin shows up as a former professional football player.
Wow.
He's charming. Harry Hamlin. He kind of looks like a saddlebag a little bit. Like the tanning beds have not been kind to him, but he's fine.
How about the football players?
Oh man! Okay, here we go. So we get some cameos.
Mm-hmm.
The far and away the best, which should come as no surprise. He's only in one scene, but he does what he do, and that's Marshawn Lynch.
Oh,
Marshawn Lynch shows up, and he just charms the pants off me. Like I love that guy. And then we have some guys who clearly were happy to be there, but you know it probably became pretty clear pretty quickly that they shouldn't do a lot of talking. And that's our Julian Edelman's, our Danny Amendola's. And then we get to the big ones. Gronk is here for a hot second. He's not on screen for very long. Basically does his goofy wide-eyed grin thing and aw shucks, I'm a dummy. And it works, it's fine. And then we get to our titular performer. I don't even know how to explain. Like there are bits like here, like when it's like, you know, when Lily Tomlin's talking to video Tom Brady, like those scenes aren't particularly long. They're back and forth. It's like, oh yeah, Tom's a little wooden, but it's fine. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he's not an actor. There's a scene towards the end of the film, where Tom Brady is asked to act.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
And it goes, however poorly you think it would go, like worse than that.
Oh
yeah. It's yeah. just like, it's this very like serious moment intended to have some poignancy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and I just burst out laughing. And I was not the only one.
Oh dear!
What I have to say was an extremely full house as far as like the theater. Like honestly, Rich,
It did well nationally at the box
office. Like it landed like it's you know it's the first movie to outdraw Avatar since Avatar came out. But yeah, man, it was really surprising to go and just. See how many people we intended. We were just like, oh yeah, we'll just go, we'll hit the early show, it'll be great. We were on our way. I happened to check on my phone to see what the seating availability was. There you couldn't get two seats together.
Wow.
For the noon show.
Wow.
Like you couldn't. And honestly, like the next show that we attended was almost as well attended, if not more so. Like it was like houses and
Tom Brady saving the box office.
Well, I think we're uniquely suited in this area for a movie like that to be successful.
Yeah.
When you take into account Patriots fandom runs deep here, everybody is old. I don't know if this was the case at other area establishments, but at the one we went to, all tickets were $6.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think I read that they just made that decision, which I think is probably a very smart one.
Well, it's just it's the sort of movie that, old people, young people, men, women, like it's very much a movie that is going to sort of appeal to a broad demographic.
Mm.
Now. And I'll be real, like I have no doubt that the vast majority of people from our screening, they walked out more than satisfied. you know, and that's the thing. It's like, this is not a good movie, but it's far better than it really has any right to be. And again, that's thanks to our central quartet. So instead of an actively bad movie that is an unpleasant experience, you get, you know, a perfectly enjoyable watch that's, you know, it's not going to win any awards. You know, you're probably not going to worry about seeing it again when it pops up on whatever streamer. And it's a Paramount movie, so the clock's probably ticking as far as like when that's going to pop up on streaming. But sometimes who cares? And it's like, it's, you know, a bunch of people got to go out and see a movie and have a perfectly pleasant time. And sometimes that's more than enough.
Absolutely. Talking movies with Alan Adams here on Downtown. Now, this is such a tough time of year for new releases. There isn't a whole lot out there coming up in the next few weeks. Is there? Are you just trying to catch up on the Oscar nominees that you haven't seen?
Yeah, I got a lot of homework to do as far as some of the smaller offerings. We were talking off air. Like, I have yet to see Tar, which the Todd Fields movie with Emma Thompson that I've heard a lot of buzz about. To Emily, with Andrea Riseborough. There's a lot of controversy surrounding her nomination for Best Actress, so I'll probably try to see that, although I don't even know where you can see it at this point.
Sure.
You know, and there are a couple of other ones in there. You know, other than that, it's basically like hunker down. Like, there are a couple of like big flashy tent poles popping up over the next, you know, 6-8 weeks. I think the next one, the latest MCU installment comes out in a couple of weeks. The new Ant-Man movie, which is supposed to be some sort of big precursor for the latest phase of the MCU, which I know increasingly fewer people are caring about, but it's, you know, it's gonna go, it's gonna make hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the world we live in now.
Right.
So, but yeah, and then what? The Oscars are
late.
They're a little bit later this year. I'm very excited to see how things go. It'll be curious to see if it feels like the door is open for maybe a more of a populist sort of crowd pleasing pick for some of the big awards, Best Picture in particular. Man, I think they really want to give it to that Top Gun movie. We'll see if it happens.
Wouldn't
think
that be something?
Yeah, they really want to. I loved it, but I don't know that it was the Best Picture of the year.
We'll talk more as we get closer. Alan Adams with us. Thanks, Al.
Hey, my pleasure.